From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with David Commande from the Heartland Festival Orchestra. Their season closes with a concert, Maestro's Favorites, tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at Five Points, Washington. As always, it's good to see you again, David.
Great to see you.
Now, first up on the program, I believe, is Stravinsky's Pulcinella Suite. This is a piece I've always been really interested in because it's based on old Baroque-era melodies. But being Stravinsky, he's kind of got a modern 20th century spin on this older music.
Well, you've touched on the part of this that's always intrigued me and which I've always enjoyed. The fact is you have this music which, at least for a long time, people thought was written by Pergolesi a couple of centuries earlier. Stravinsky had been invited by Diaghilev of the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo to create a ballet based on the Commedia dell'arte story, the old Punch and Judy, the Pulcinella story, using music of the Baroque. And initially, Stravinsky wasn't interested. However, he went looking, and there were these collections of trio sonatas by Pergolesi, which intrigued Stravinsky. And he said, well, I'd enjoy doing this. And so he went about doing it. And it is fascinating to ask yourself, because if you listen casually, especially from now, the 21st century, it wouldn't strike you as all that modern. But if you then turn that filter on and say, wait a minute, it is a completely Baroque, and it's not. And so the ways it differs, some of the chords are just a little bit extra crunchy, a little less consonant, and every once in a while he'll throw in an uneven meter so that it's not going in groups of 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4. So it has enough of that extra spice that you know it's a modern cook, not an old one. And the sound is, it invigorates it. And in fact, Stravinsky, they say this was the first of his neoclassical period, and Stravinsky said this was really the key, this experience unlocked the whole future of my music. It was just a chunk of his music. Later on, he went even into 12-tone, but that certainly was the next period for him.
Now, how did this become one of Maestro's favorites? Do you have a history with this piece?
I got acquainted with it in my Vienna days and put together a group, and we played it. And so it was, I associated it with its own sound and with my process of getting my legs on the podium. So I've just always had a great affection for it.
And how was Vienna a life changer for you? Because when you talk about it on air, and I've read your comments about Vienna, it seemed like a moment in time for you.
Well, so many great things happened for me in Vienna. First of all, learning to put some system into my conducting. I had started conducting while at college, conducting actually not just concerts, but an entire opera, a very challenging one. But I had done a lot of that on instinct. And my teacher, Ottmar Sweetner, who had been conducting Wagner operas, there's the name Wagner, in San Francisco, and that's how I came to know about him. He said, when he met me, he said, well, we're going to now introduce a little system into what you're doing. What you have been doing by instinct, now we're going to introduce system in it. So that was the acquisition of my fundamentals of my technique, the foundation of my professional career. But then, of course, all these other things came together. The experience of Vienna as a living museum. This is the place where so many of the greatest of the greats lived and premiered their works. And my graduation concert was in the hall that Brahms himself performed in. So that was a great experience. Then I took my affection for these composers, and then their life stories became real for me because I associated places where I rode my bike with places that they walked. And all kinds of wonderful things happened to me. Not by far from the least of these was meeting my wife, Carla, and we married there as well.
You just mentioned both Brahms and Wagner, and you have pieces by both of those composers on the program as well. So are there similar stories for those pieces?
The Wagner I also conducted and put together and studied in great detail while I was in Vienna. And for me, it's the combination of the operatic and then the chamber music feel of it. Wagner wrote this piece as a birthday gift for his wife, whose birthday, I guess, was on the 24th, but traditionally they celebrated on Christmas. And so she awoke Christmas morning 1870 to the strains of this music because it was such a small ensemble. He had this group playing in the entryway of their home in Switzerland. And so she awoke to this gorgeous music. And it is so loving. Of course, Wagner is famous for his long and immense in every way, not just in time, but in grandeur, the stories of his operas. So a man that can write a five our opera. And he wants to just sort of compose a little ditty for his wife of thanks. Well, how does that translate in time? Well, it runs about
20 minutes.
They're close-ish. Yes, about 20 minutes. And it is idyllic, that term we don't use all that much, but it's like a retreat into a very safe and beautiful place. And that has a place in my heart. Very, very sweet and tender music.
I had a chance to listen to all three pieces, and they're all classically classic. I had a hard time thinking which would be my favorite. They're all so lovely. But as I listened, and they were all so lovely, I wondered, what did they say about you, the person, the fact that you chose these three?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to turn the conversation into I suppose I let myself in for it by calling it Maestro's favorites. But one thing I will insist on, these are not the favorites. These are not the only ones. I had in mind a concert which would have some pieces which might not otherwise find their way onto a specific program. And I guess you could say that they all go a little bit against the type of the composers. We think of Brahms being the composer of the great symphonies and some of the great choral works like his Requiem. And these pieces were of great significance. The Serenades shows this mastery, and it also shows, I think, the man and the spirit of the man at a time maybe slightly less complicated than later on. You feel that it's almost like you've gone out into the country, and that's one of the qualities I love about it. It has this intimate feel as well.
And with every concert, you always team up with some other organization to act as your community partner. Can you tell us a little bit about the group you're working with this time?
This time it's the Peoria Humane Society, and specifically the therapy dog program that they run, where they have dogs that are trained to work with people and strangers, and the dogs are brought in sometimes just to be, for example, to reassure and relax a young child that might be having a reading session with a special guest, a human that comes along with the dog. The therapy dogs just do great work, and we should all be grateful for everything the Humane Society does.
You also include a surprise in every concert, or most every concert. Now, I obviously don't want to ask you to reveal too much, but can you talk about how important it is to have something unexpected in a program like this one?
The surprise element we have on the concerts came out of my sense, first of all, that folks might like being and encountering something.
Out and About
that
is a production of Peoria Public Radio
before.
And Arts Partners of Central Illinois.
For
each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local
nice
arts leaders and performers.
We can go to our website to hear an extended version of this interview.
There's another advantage to that, and that is that if something occurs to me
between
publishing the program and having the program, then I have room to move it in, to bring it in. Sometimes that's something that connects the pieces on the program, and there can be lots of reasons to bring in a surprise. In this case, the day after our concert, Sunday, we have a special event at the Planetarium, and our special guests there are Doug and Eileen Loynick, who are Arts Partners of the Year. Suzette well knows. They've done great work for the arts community in founding, First Fridays and CHOW, Central Illinois Arts Artists Organization. But they're photographic artists, and they have created imagery which is choreographed to specific pieces of music. It's chamber music on Sunday. I'll be playing with my friends and colleagues from the orchestra, and their images will be transformed as the music proceeds. And we're going to give a little preview of that, of one of those pieces, in our concert.
Terrific that you are cross-pollinating. You're not just cross-pollinating on Sunday with Music Under the Stars, but you're also cross-pollinating on Saturday with the ballet.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's another thread in terms of what's meaningful to me. The Pulcinella Suite was written for ballet, and our friends at the Peoria Ballet, Artistic Director Servi Gallardo, has choreographed to work, and four of the members of the Peoria Ballet Ensemble will be dancing in front of the orchestra as we create the music live. And that, of course, fits into my long-standing experience with the ballet, with the dance.
We've been talking with the Heartland Festival Orchestra's David Commande. The final concert of their season is tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. David, thank you for being with us.
Thanks.
And Nathan, on Sunday evening, the Peoria Municipal Band presents its first concert of the summer season. They'll play at 7 p.m. in the Glen Oak Amphitheater. And what's become somewhat of a tradition, Mayor Jim Artis will kick off the festivities by emceeing the concert and welcoming featured guest soloist Libby Snyder. That's the Muni Band this Sunday in beautiful Glen Oak Park.
And finally, a theater company called The Great Work Begins is presenting several performances of Romeo and Juliet this weekend. There are four shows, tomorrow and Sunday at 11:30 and 3:30. All of the performances are at Camp Wakanda in Chillicothe.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
And if you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.